Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Commonwealth Center, and I have the honor of welcoming you to tonight's show, which is all about your personal experiences. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours with us and our audiences. Many people have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, and we really would love you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate those valuable experiences into our day-to-day lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular episode of Signs of Life Radio centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your guest co-hosts for this evening's Signs of Life show will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Certified Forever Family Foundation Certified Medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, and Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. And we would like to give you the phone numbers so that you can call us at 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And I was going to say we had a caller on, but we dropped the caller just dropped. But
oh no!
I was going to say before we welcome Janet back to the. Oh, she wanted a reading from Janet. That's what it was. Okay.
Well, you can get in touch with Janet, and it's not on this program, but that's otherwise, true. Right, Janet?
That's right. Right.
Want to say more about that since it came up naturally?
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm just one of the certified mediums of this Forever Family Foundation, so they can contact, obviously, she knows about Forever Family since she called in. But basically, yeah, we're here tonight to talk about everybody else's experiences and if they have anything, you know, unusual that happened, if a loved one came through who, you know, might have recently passed, or maybe someone who, you know, passed 20 years ago. And that's what's always really interesting is to see who calls in and what comes through.
That's true. But Janet, how does one get in touch with you for reading?
Well, normally they would just email me at Janet Mayer, janetmayer11@aol.com. But right now I'm currently not taking any new readings. I'm not booking any readings. So that makes it kind of null. So I didn't want to go into there.
We pulled it out of you anyway. We're sorry.
That's okay.
Well, welcome back. We missed you last month.
Oh, I'm sure you did a wonderful job without me, but thank you very much.
I'm glad to be back. Never the same without you,
that's for sure.
That's right. I had something interesting happened today. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yes. You remember my mom passed a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And I tell you from time to time, and I share on the show from time to time, that sometimes I, I don't think the word smell is the right one, but I get a sense of her fragrance around me. And it's not always just like a perfume or cologne type of a fragrance, but just a very personal thing that's not like just some cologne or whatever. But this morning, my sisters and I had something going on of a very intimate nature concerning our mom. And, you know, we were each talking with each other. And while I was on the phone talking to one of my sisters, I was just finishing up an email relative to what we were working on today. And when I signed my name, Kim, the name Mom with a capital M came up instead of Kim. And it really made me... I don't know. I shared it, of course, with my sister, but yes, the K is above the M and the I and the O on the keyboard are next to each other. But how I would have come up with M-O-M instead of K-I-M, I don't think I did. So anyway, I just wanted to say that that just blew me away.
That's really cool. I think that's a really good validation. You know, it's like just letting you know, kind of like she's just dropping in and letting you know she's around and that, you know, she still knows what's going on. And I love, like, it's those little, like I call little tidbits in life that, you know, we need to all pay attention to, because most people might have done that and never thought about it twice, Kim, and they would have went on. And it's like you saw it and your mom knew you would catch that, you know. And I think that that's really important, because it kind of reminds everybody to kind of watch out for those little tiny tidbits that come that are actually humongous. I mean, because I'm sure it set you back for a minute and, you know, like kind of put you off kilter, like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You
know? And I've been thinking about it all day long, and I signed my name Kim on emails all day long at work, and I sign every email Kim, and mom never came up. But when so much is going on, there was some emotional experiences for all of us right now. And to see that, it just does something to you.
Well, yeah. And it makes you feel differently in that grief also. I mean, you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes. Yes.
You know, Janet, as many times as you say, and I say too, we all three say, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, I think I mentioned this, you weren't here, but on Mother's Day, Kim and I had gone to her son's and his wife and the two grandchildren, and I'm honorary grandmother, and we had a fine time, and we were coming home. I was talking to my Austrian daughter about, she's closing down her husband's business. He passed about a year ago, and we were talking about that. And so Kim just sort of pointed out to me, look at that license plate. Well, it was Pista, P-I-S-T-A. And in Hungarian, that was the name of my husband and my son. They both had the same name, István Kovács.
Oh, my gosh.
And the other name, more familiar name, is Pista. And so it was like both of them, Pista. And I looked at it, and I didn't think much. I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never seen a license plate with Pista on it.
Right.
My left brain was pretty much saying, well, you know, didn't think much. But then I thought, wait a minute. It was Mother's Day. and it was on my side. Kim noticed it. I didn't notice it. Says something about me and pointed it out. And later I thought, well, and my Austrian daughter was saying, oh, that's Pishton Pishti, you know, both of them.
Yeah.
And she's being a bit presumptuous. And later, I thought to myself, here I am talking about that all the time. And I was kind of ready to just dismiss it.
Mm.
And then later, wow. I thought, what are you up to? I mean, that was a wonderful gift, both of them.
Well, and it wouldn't have been the same had it been whizzing by the left side of me, and you know, I couldn't have gotten out of my mouth before you had a chance to focus on it.
Yeah.
It was right next to you. Traffic was slow, and you got a chance to see it. Right,
I looked at she said, look at that. And
wow.
You know, that is a little unusual to have the license plate just Pista on it. I have in my life never seen that.
Yes, I think that's a huge sign. And I think it's a wonderful sign of, you know, hey, happy Mother's Day, you know, I mean, how cool is that? And really what you just said too, how perfect that, you know, we see something and it just goes right by. And it's like, it's huge. I mean, you can just imagine them like knocking like on your head, like, hey, pay attention. And we're coming through, you know, we're trying to give you a sign. And what a great sign that is, because like you said, that is not real common at all either. You know, that's not usual.
That Hungarian name. And it's interesting because there's Pishti for the younger one and Pista for the older one, but it was Pista. They both were grown and it was the name that fit both of them.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really cool. What a beautiful sign. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's ready to dismiss it. It's
right. Well, and you know, and don't you think too, like with that you're thinking you see it and you let it go by you. And like you even said, it later on that day, it kind of hit you. And I think that's something important too, for like the listeners to hear, is that sometimes it isn't a smack you in the face or an aha moment. Sometimes it takes a while. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, that, wait a minute. And then kind of like back up, you know, and then you get it. And then you sit there kind of in awe, like, wow, that really did happen. You know?
And the fact that it was on Mother's Day, we were coming back, and I wasn't thinking anything. I had, not long after, of course, they died, I did have to go through the fact that I'm no longer a mother and will not be a grandmother. But I came to terms with that, and I felt, no, if your brother wants, you're always a mother.
That's it. You couldn't.
That's right.
You can't unmother. And I feel that I am a grandmother to people, to many people, and I'm okay with it. You know, it's like, it was sort of that feeling in me, well, I don't need contact or something. And then I thought, how horrible of me. You know, like I was. So I guess I bare my soul on that one, because it's rather telling of my ability to dismiss something that could be meaningful.
Mm. Well, but you did catch it, though. It might have just taken a little bit of time because there was other things going on, and you have to keep that in mind. And I really like that, you know, you can't unmother. You can't be, you can't not unmother. And I think that that's part of who you are. And I think that they were recognizing that, don't you think? I mean, well, I think what a wonderful gift.
Well, and it's so important. And I knew that at the time. I think that you are a mother. You are that forever, you know, all of your lives, whether they are alive on this planet or in the other world. But I know that I've talked with people since then who feel that, you know, they were so accustomed to being a mother to a living child that it was so hard. But I think most of them also realize, no, I'm always a mother.
Well, and you know, that's too, that was kind of reminding me, like today before, you know, I always try to sit and meditate a little bit, and I think, okay, what is the topic for tonight? What is going to come through? What, you know, who's going to call in with what? And then I was thinking about this morning, I was up at the hospital, and I was seeing some people that I was kind of watching them, and how they were all honoring, you know, they were little, you know, a couple people together, like getting tests done or whatever. And they, you know, they're honoring their emotions, and you could tell they were worried and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I would just look around and think, you know, they're feeling what's going on for them. They're honoring their emotion, their grief. And I thought, isn't it interesting that when someone passes, a lot of times people try to brush that off and say, oh, it's okay, or don't cry, or don't this, or, you know, it'll be okay. Just, you know, or you should get over it. And I'm like, you know, I think we really have to find comfort in our grief and honor grief. And I think people sometimes forget that. They think, well, it's been, you know, months, or it's been years, or it's been 10 years. And, you know, I really shouldn't be like that anymore. And I'm always like, you know what? I think if people would remember to just honor their grief when they need to, no matter when it is, I think that would really change the view in our world about how we not only deal with grief, but deal with the emotions here, like even like at the hospital, you know, and how people are experiencing what they're going through. And it really hit me weird this morning when I saw that. And I thought, well, that's something that I think maybe to bring up tonight when we're talking, because I think that, you know, when I was even, you know, writing about finding comfort in grief, and that sounds so wrong on some level, but in another sense, it really is, it's really true to, we have to hold true to that, that we have that grief, and that, you know, when we need to experience it, you know, go ahead and have that cry, or go ahead and feel sad that, you know, like on Mother's Day, that, you know, you feel like you were unmothered and you really weren't. But, you know, it's like you have to hold on to those and kind of keep moving with it, because that's kind of who we are. And that's what causes our experiences for the future, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because I think if we don't experience what we're living at the moment, the grief, it will make itself known in one way or another. And it can be that it will come out in a distorted way, and, you know, but it's so important to honor grief as a very real and incredibly creative emotion. You know, it's interesting because when I was thinking about tonight too, I was looking through some papers, and I saw a quotation by the psychiatrist Carl Jung, and I'll just read it. He said, "To the extent," excuse me, "that I manage to translate the emotions into images, That is to say, to find the images that were concealed in the emotion, I was inwardly calmed and reassured. Had I left those images hidden in the emotions, I might have been torn to pieces by them. Mm. And I think taking the time to allow the emotions to be felt, and then when the emotions are there and strong, they will form themselves into images. You know, it just, I remember one critic who had said that, you know, that sometimes the emotions are so real and so powerful that they reach a certain intensity, and when they do, they explode into images. So we want to really allow ourselves to feel those emotions so that they can speak to us in the images and the language of symbols. And I remember so well when we were in the hospital, my husband and I and our son Pishti was we were told he might die within the hour. And so we were standing in just there in the hallway, and other people were around. Don't know what they were doing, but I took my husband's hand, and it was almost like an electric shock. The emotion was so intense that I could feel it in my hand, and I immediately looked at him, and I saw that the emotion was just, it was about to destroy him. I thought, oh my God, could he have a heart attack? And because I had never seen him in that state before, and he was trying to hold it together by, you know, not letting me know, but I felt the energy. And I said something that was unusual for me. I said, Ishvan, if this is what we are to experience, we will get through this. But he was very intense. And only later did he tell me that he said, I myself thought I might have a heart attack because the emotions were so powerful that, you know, sometimes they're so powerful, you don't know what to do with them. And he said, but at the moment I thought I might surely have a heart attack, he said those images, those emotions exploded into images. And he saw our son sit up in bed and reach out and take a dove with, what was it that he had in his mouth?
Oh,
I can't remember, but he put the dove in his heart, and then he lay back down. And then he saw Pishti, our son, on the top of Machu Picchu, or the little mountain by Machu Picchu. And he said that he realized our son was reaching up into the sky with the left hand and holding out to Ishvan, his father, the right hand. And he realized he was making himself a bridge between that world and this world, that he was bringing information from that world to Ishvan. And Ishvan said that when that happened, everything became totally calm and peaceful. Everything was calm. It was just like being in another world. He felt so incredibly filled with love and peace. And he said, I didn't know whether Pishti would live or die, but it wasn't a question that I had any longer, because I knew there was no separation, that the love was that bridge, that we would never be separated. Mm-hmm. But that was I told him later, it was Ernst Cassirer, the writer of symbolic language, who had actually said that. And I thought it was so interesting. My husband didn't know that critic at all. But I said, you know, that's exactly what Cassirer said happens. Often the emotions become so strong that they must express themselves in their language, which is symbolic. And when that happens, we can survive. As Jung said, if he hadn't done that, they could have torn him up. And I think my husband would have had a heart attack if he hadn't then had that vision that gave him just total peace and acceptance.
Wasn't that vision, didn't it involve a ball of fire too?
That was it. The dove had in its beak a ball of fire. Oh. I couldn't remember the moment. Thanks, Kim. And, we always remember.
And he put it
in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But then he was alive and well and giving information from the other side to Ishvan, but also making himself a bridge, a connection of love between the two worlds. And it was interesting, because I just thought with this of Jung, it's the same kind of thing, that the emotion could kill you. It could give you a heart attack. It could do whatever. And if we allow the emotions to be present, they will translate into symbolic language and communicate with us. And that's what heals us. And Istvan was in that moment. There was in him an acceptance because he knew there was no separation ever because of the love.
Wow. Well, and you know what? By you saying that, Betty, it makes me, the first thing I thought of is that he was finding a connection to your son in a new way, you know, his spirit to his, you know, and how interesting is that, that he was experiencing that in a new way in that time and in that moment, and that changed him as well, you know?
Yes, it did. It helped him to deal with it. It just, it doesn't mean we don't suffer after that, but it helps us to deal with it, you know, on another level of being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he had had a vision with Pishti 2 weeks before he died. And he saw that there was the accident. And I think someone's calling. No? He had never had those experiences before. But in that vision, when he saw Pishti's car on the side of the freeway and his body superimposed on it, he knew that he was dead because they're two different dimensions. And then he said, what shocked him, "Oh, that's right, Pishti. It's almost time for you to do that." And Pishti said, "Yes, Dad, that's right. I'll be out of the house for a little while." Well, that shocked my husband so much because he didn't know where that came from. Why would he say something like that? But then within a few weeks, we got the call that Pishti had been in an accident and his car was on the side of the freeway.
And he remembered the vision.
And that's when he remembered the vision.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
Gosh. Well, I'd like to give the phone numbers again for our listeners to call and join this conversation. 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking too with that is, you know, that by what you're saying and the story you're sharing, Betty, is how, you know, our loved ones, they remind us and they give us so much to learn from. And you know, and it's just, everything that you were just saying with that made me think, wow, you can learn so much in that story about the connection with spirit, with the other side, with your loved ones, and how the connection from your husband to your son, and how that kind of, I don't want to say it healed him in that moment, but it did change him in that moment, which caused him to not shatter, which was really important. You know what I mean? And I think it's just, I don't know. It's so interesting to me because in the difficult moments, I always try to think of something positive about a loved one. And that always seems to help. Oh, wait a minute here. We'll go ahead and talk to, I think we have someone calling in.
We do. Tiffany, thanks for calling. We welcome you to the show.
Hi, gals. Thanks for having me. I just want to call because I wanted to hear the whole 50 story. But anyway, my cousin Melanie in Reno, who's called in before, was encouraging me to call. My aunt recently passed, but before she passed, she was unconscious for quite some time. And I was talking to my cousin Melanie, and I said, I don't know what to pray for. And she said, just put it out there that whatever's best for her. And she said, why don't you ask her for a sign that she's okay? Because a lot of times when people are unconscious like that, they're in a different realm already. So I thought, okay. And the first thing that came to my mind was a rainbow. But I'm in California. It was sunny skies. I'm like, I'm never going to see this rainbow. And at like 2 a.m, I had posted this obscure post in this group that I was new to. And I wanted to check to see if anybody had responded at 2 a.m. And there, the first post I saw on that group was a picture of a rainbow. And the gentleman was selling these photos that he had taken. Oh. And I said, oh, thank you, Auntie. And then after she passed, I asked for a sign that she was okay. I asked for a rainbow again, just to let me know that she's okay. And I looked everywhere. No rainbows to be had. No rainbows anywhere. in the meantime, my same cousin Melanie sent me these tips for when you're not mobile, you're on crutches and stuff, and from Facebook. And I was looking on Facebook under this one woman's post that she had sent me, and one of the first things she talked about was the loss of her husband. Well, I got so intrigued with her story that I must have read like 2 years worth of posts that she had. And I thought to myself, gee, one of her kids must be gay. And then I was praying right before I said my rosary, please send me a rainbow. And I realized she had just rained rainbows on me through that woman's post, because I was looking at the rainbows as a sign of gay pride, when really it was so obscure that I was following this woman who I didn't know, all her posts. And there were so many rainbows knocking me over the head, and I just didn't see them.
Well, Tiffany, I'd like to add something, if you don't mind, because I have a feeling this might connect to you, but every once in a while, somebody calls in, and when they say something that really, like, will hit me, I write it down once in a while. And when you said Melanie from Nevada, I wrote down that Melanie from Nevada wrote, you matured into your relationship. And I loved when she said that, and I wrote it down. I think that's your cousin, Melanie, that said that. I wonder.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that? I mean, so you might have to ask her if she called in here and talked about maturing into your relationship that she did with someone that she loved. But I just find that really wild that I had wrote that down, and you were talking about a Melanie from Nevada.
Yeah, she did. She did talk about that and maturing of souls as well as deepening the relationship.
Yes.
She has talked about that a lot.
Well, I think that was a sign too for you that, you know, somebody's watching out for you, because I just came across it. I have just papers kind of, you know, scattered here and there in an envelope, and I happened to open it up and I was looking at it and I was like, I still really like that line, matured into your relationship. When somebody passes after, you know, so long, you learn to mature into that relationship with them. And I thought, yeah, that's really true. I do really like that. And I wrote it down, and then I wrote next to it, Melanie from NV. And when you were talking about that, I thought, I think that's her.
Yeah, that is her. That is very much her. And it's amazing the connection she has with the daughter that she lost. And she works on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, then maybe that's a sign for you too, for your loved one to come through. That's cool.
And thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Raining rainbows. There you go.
That's kind of, you know, it just kept coming up and coming up. But that's a perfect example of how sometimes you're thinking you're going to see this one thing, and it's in front of you all along. And luckily, you know, Tiffany caught it. She got, you know, figured it out and got it. And what a wonderful sign, because it was almost like she said, somebody hitting her over the head time after time. Like, here's another one. How many times do you want me to do that?
Gosh, yeah. And then the light bulb went on.
Yeah.
I'm in rainbow land.
And how cool is that? I mean, how cool is that? That's just, you know, it's a great sign. And I think it's really neat that I think it's good for people to, you know, do that. Like, you know, you might be looking for that sign and then it's right in front of you all along. And so, you know, I think it's just important to pay attention. Like we always say, that sometimes something happens. And like, for example, my thing, when I pulled out this piece of paper and I was like, ooh, I might mention that tonight, that Melanie from, you know, Nevada wrote that matured into your relationship, you know, when someone passes, a loved one, and you learn to grow with that. You do. And I thought it made a lot of sense. And I thought it was a really cool saying. And then when Tiffany called in, I was like, interesting. So, okay.
It's so interesting too, that, you know, when we hear from people, it's so wonderful to hear what is going on and the way communication is taking place and how creative people are, both here and on the other side, is that we really are creative beings. And, you know, we, from the other side, they do what they can, and we do what we can. But I think it's just amazing that we need to recognize how creative we really are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and how creative spirit is. I mean, how fun is it that our loved ones come through and give us something silly? Or, you know, like, I knew a man who passed not too long ago, and he had this gray goatee. Well, I was coming around the corner one day, and I jerked back because I thought I saw him. And I was just like, and then all of a sudden I was seeing a bunch of different men with these gray goatees. And I started laughing, and I thought, oh my gosh, that is exactly what that man would do. He would, you know, throw that at me and say, look, here's another one, you know? And it's kind of funny because it's like, when you really do open yourself up to what is going on around you, it's like how many times are our loved ones giving us signs that we're, you know, we miss, you know, and then we have to be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. I finally realized that, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have a sense of humor to be able to catch their humor. But yes, yeah. I definitely think we're so much more creative than we give ourselves credit for, mm-hmm. meaning we on the other side and here.
Right. Right. And I do love that they, you know, they try to lift us up. It's not like, you know, yes, I'm not close anymore. I'm on the other side. I'm not in the physical. It's like they want to give us something that's going to make us smile or give us comfort and, you know, make us move forward and kind of be, you know, happy about something. And that's why I said this man that I know who always was cracking jokes, when he comes through, I just smile and I think, oh my gosh, I know that's him because this is what he would do. You know, it's like, and I'm not, you know, cracking jokes, he's doing it. So it's kind of funny that when it does happen, you just have to smile and you think, yeah, that's how I want to remember him. I want to remember him that way because that's who he was. And I think that that's important with that. Any of our loved ones that come through, you know, it could be something silly, but it's really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's huge because it's not something that we would always recognize when we were younger. And as we get older and we recognize them, we can now be like, oh my gosh, this has been happening all along. And now we're starting to understand it. And sometimes it does take, you know, someone to pass to kind of get that for it to click in and to acknowledge it. But I think that once you get that connection, I don't think it ever, ever leaves anytime after that. I mean, don't you kind of agree on that? Or, I mean, feel that way? I don't know.
Oh, I absolutely do. And Kim, you do too.
I do. I do. And Janet, I was thinking again about what you were talking about at the beginning about finding comfort with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I had kept an email that you wrote just a couple of weeks over 4 years ago. And you were talking about finding comfort with grief by allowing it to open us to a new space.
Ooh, yeah.
How do you like that one?
Hey, that's good, Jen.
Finding comfort by allowing it to open us to a new space. And Betty had said before, which is along those same lines, about grief pulling us towards our loved ones in spirit.
And right. A different space. And
because we need the connection, and we have the connection if we realize it's there and are open to it.
And there's nothing more essential or important or crucial to life as love, because love is a connection.
Love is the glue.
Yeah, love is the glue that connects us with all of that. So, but I also, I hit someone, I'll just say this very quickly, that I felt that I, in the experiences that I had with my son and later with my husband as well, is that I realized that I had lived in a very small space.
One square inch of reality, you said.
That's what I said. That I lived in one square inch and called it reality. And I think that's what we kind of do. We live in a square inch and we're just connected to all of this that we think is real. And then suddenly, when we connect to the other world, it just pulls us into a vaster space. But I'll stop now and let's hear from
Amul in Ohio. Good evening, Amul.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. So I had a general question, more like a curiosity question as to, well, you know, when we pass, when we leave the body, so all the souls go to the same realm, same whatever you call it, same space, or do they go to different places according to whatever they did in this life?
Well, you know, I'll say something and then I know Janet has something to say, but we are told by people who've had actual death experiences and visited the other side, and also by mystics, is that we, and when we first cross over, perhaps we visit many places, but that where we end up settling, you might say, is the place where our frequency is matched, a frequency that we can be comfortable in. There are some people who sort of had the experience of the other side, that they visited other places that were very high frequency, but too much for them. They saw these beautiful cities of gold, which was love and light, and they were just, they could stand at the edges of that, but they couldn't go in. Mm. They also visited the darkness, and they were told, you cannot go there without someone who's very strong. It just stay at the edges, and she, of course, did not want to go there. But it wasn't her frequency either. But she ended up in a frequency that was very much hers, comfortable. She was able to love and to learn. It was her frequency. So that makes very good sense to me. What about you, Janet?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because through different readings, I sometimes see different things. And it's just, I know a lot of times when people, you know, they say they cross over, that they're, it's almost like you can be in numerous places at one time. I know that sounds kind of odd, but it's like they can, you know, you're not just in one little space. You're kind of in many spaces. I don't know how that works. Don't ask me. But a lot of times, sometimes I see people like in one place, and sometimes someone will come through and I feel like they're in two or three places, letting their loved ones know that they're okay or that they're over there. And then I do agree, though, that they do find, you know, I always use kind of that little visual of they end up in the neighborhood that they feel most comfortable in. And that's kind of coming, you know, saying it from the earth plane, but it's in their frequency or their vibration, the same thing, Betty, that they're in the place that they find comfort with those around them. And they could be loved ones that were from here. They could be loved ones from different places. And that, you know, that's to me how I see it. But I just put it down really basic.
Yes, and where they're able to continue creating and loving, if that's their frequency, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you so frequency, higher frequency, meaning souls which are at a higher level, more evolved, is that what it means?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I look at that differently. Betty, you can go ahead. I was going to say, say it after you.
I had to say, you carry on.
Okay, I was just going to say basically that it could be a different frequency. It doesn't mean, like, to me, it never comes across as it's higher, it's lower. It's just different. It's just a different frequency. And I know people get caught up on, you know, being in a higher frequency and being, you know, higher and higher and higher. And that it, that could very well be. But the way I see it, it's more of like an energy or a vibration that's a different frequency. And it's just whatever comfort is to that person that, you know, who has passed. I don't look at it like you're going on this level or that level or that level, because I don't see it that way, the way it comes through for me. But it does show that they do come through in a, like a shared experience or with comfort. There is different, a lot of different visuals I see. So I can't just pinpoint one thing and say that's it.
You know,
go ahead, Betty.
Well, you know, I guess I do have something else to say, and I don't know. I've had experiences in which, how can I say it? It wasn't like looking down or looking up to people, but I've of frequency where that is so intense and beautiful and loving, but that it was too powerful for me, I would have to say. I didn't feel less than. I think that's our language kind of, you know, because when you say, well, it's more evolved or this or that, it seems to be, you know, putting someone in a higher level or lower level, whatever. But I did feel, just as that other woman who was actually speaking from the other side, channeling through a friend, that like when she stood at the city, that she knew that that frequency was very, very high and intense. And she couldn't actually enter, but she knew that one day she would if she chose to. But my experience was that I saw for myself that it was very intense, but I could see it and I knew, And it was a goal for me, you know, in the future. But there was no, it's interesting that in spirit, there's no
judgment.
And there's no less than. Yeah, the comparison is not really comparison. And I think that's what you're getting at, Janet, that there's
less
than that. Yeah, it's something, a reality, but it doesn't mean we're lower or higher. You know, it's just
different. It's just a different state. We're just in a different, you know, that's why I always use the neighborhoods, Betty. I'm like, it doesn't mean, you know, you're less or better. It's just a different neighborhood or a different, you're in a different space, but you're still. And I do think that we all continue to evolve. It's not like, we stay where we are and nothing happens. I think we all continue to evolve. So I think we're always moving forward. It doesn't mean we're up or down. It's just we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no comparison, I think, on the other side. That can get us into a great deal of trouble. Mm-hmm. But we can't help it here.
But I get a lot of people that are grateful. They'll say thank you for helping me, or you know, you really were there for me. And I always find that really interesting, that when someone comes through, and I don't get it in every reading, so you know, there you go. But I mean, when you get someone coming through and they're saying, you know, I really appreciated the help you gave me, or I really appreciate, you know, you taking the extra time. And it's funny because it doesn't always happen, like I said, in every reading. So to me, that tells me that they're coming back to let us know that they appreciate our relationship or something, you know, out of love and comfort. And so that also helps us move forward.
Yes, I think so. But Amul was trying to say something, I think.
Can I ask another question, a related question?
Of course.
And that is, so in our life, human life, wherever we live, we are taught, you know, to do good deeds. And if we do bad deeds, you know, then we are supposed to be punished in the afterlife, and good deeds are rewarded. So is there something like that in your experience? If a really bad person goes to the same place, and a relatively, let's say, a good person goes same place, so there is no difference. I mean, so what we are taught here is that a concept not really relevant on the other side?
You know what I think on that, Amrul, is that if we are out of our hearts, kind and loving, that's what we experience on the other side.
Go ahead, Betty. I want to add something to that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I do, from my experience, from what I've seen and felt, is that if sometimes someone comes through who they weren't a good person here, that energy comes through, so you can feel it. So they still carry that with them. They carry that a lot of, it's not saying that it's not, they can't move forward with it. But there is sometimes a heaviness around certain spirits that come through. And I think that then they have to work on that, maybe in some way on the other side, or in their own way, in their own sense. And sometimes I have people that come through that are so, it feels so loving, I almost cry because it's so beautiful. So I think that people do carry whatever they are experiencing here, it does get carried over. And it doesn't mean they're in the same place together. They could be in different frequencies or in different vibrations, however you want to put it. But I do feel like when there is something that really, you know, negative happened here, and if I'm picking it up from the other side, that's telling me that they're still carrying that energy. So they have to learn to change that on some level. I don't know how. I don't know how that works. But I do know that sometimes they will come through, and I will feel so. And I might even say, you know, did this person do some really, you know, terrible things, you know, and I could give some examples, and then they'd be like, yes, that was that person. And yeah. I would be like, okay, well, they're still coming through that way. So it can come through that way, but it can also come through like, wow, this person was so incredibly loving and beautiful. I almost feel like I'm melting. It's so beautiful. So yeah. You can still carry those energies with you when you get to the other side. So yeah. It's good to remember that, to, you know, try to continue to try to be a good person. And I think that does help. Yes.
Oh, I think I agree with you. And I think it definitely makes a huge difference. One near-death experiencer who saw the darkness, it was of people who hadn't been kind, who hadn't loved. And they, very often, they were in such a dark place that they didn't even know in a way that they were dead or that there were other possibilities. It was just they were caught and trapped in kind of total negativity. But there were those who were loving and in the light, who were very, very strong, who would go to them and help them, to help them to see that there is another possibility. So I would say, it makes a big difference,
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing that Amu had mentioned was the question about whether there are rewards and punishment.
Again, I think that, we punish ourselves. The near-death experiencers say that when they experience their lives on the other side, they are the ones who are looking at it. They are the ones who are judging it or evaluating it. They are the ones who are suffering. And when we've done pretty rotten things, we suffer tremendously. One would say perhaps our punishment, but it's not thought of as punishment. It's awareness.
It's
that
healing.
That we see what we've done. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be that, and we want to change it. And many people who've had those experiences come back, and they are very different people. So it's not so much punishment, but simply our becoming aware of what we have been and what we are. And that can feel pretty bad, but also feel pretty good if we change,
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for explaining. I have a better understanding now.
Thank you. Yeah, and everybody's experience, is a little different. And I think that, when you get all these little pieces that come together, you do start to see a pattern. And I think that kind of does show us a little bit more of what's going on the other side, too.
Yeah, it's so vast,
Right. And when you were saying about rewards and punishments, and I was thinking about that, and I was trying to think over a lot of the readings, and I'm thinking, I think the punishment was what you realized, what you did or experienced, and how could you not change it? And that's not really a punishment. It's more of an awareness, like you said, Betty.
It's not a punishment, but we could feel, that's a way of describing it. But I mean, even in our daily lives, if we realize we've done something that we wish we hadn't, it feels so bad,
Right, exactly. I hear you. And it's interesting because and then you think of all the wonderful readings with these people that they're coming through because they're so happy. They want to let you know they're okay. They want to let you know they're around. And I'm always telling people, you can just open up and say, hey, give me a sign or hey, I'm here. And, I talk a lot of times in the car when I'm in the car, I talk to my loved ones. That's a really, I don't know if that's great or not, if I should do that. But a lot of times I will, because I like driving, I'm comfortable. And I'll just be like, hey, so-and-so, I was thinking of you today. And then all of a sudden, a song will come on that reminds me of them. And I'll be like, oh, wow, I remember that. Or something really unusual will happen. And it just makes you laugh and smile. And I think they want to give us signs. They want to tell us they are around us.
It is in the nature of being that we be connected to the other side. And we're just learning how to do it. And I love your book, The Spirits. They are here.
They are present.
They are present. And that's just so important for us to experience, and you constantly remind us that in so many different ways, and they want to do that. As much as we want to be connected to them, they want to be connected to us, because we have evolved to co-create with other dimensions of reality, with spirit. And I think that we're learning how.
They're probably longing to connect, just like we're longing
exactly
to connect.
Exactly, they are.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. You guys are both completely right. And I completely agree on that. But it's a big reminder again, too, that they aren't in the past. They're still here. They're with us in the present. They're just not in the same space that we are in, and that we can still communicate with them in our own way, on a different level or a different frequency or a different vibration, whatever you want to call it. But they are still around us in their own way. And yes, they can't, you know, we can't always contact them or connect with them. Maybe, you know, we're busy or they're busy. You know, we don't know what they're all doing. But in the same sense, there is that time where we do connect. And you both have felt it. You both have felt like all of a sudden, like, whoa, you just get that feeling that comes over. Something happens. You get a sign. You know, today, the mom, I mean, it just, it goes through you. And you know it's more than just typing mom. You know, you get that extra feeling that added to it. You know what I, you know?
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Janet, you said something tonight I hadn't heard before. And it was about when the spirits come through to you, that you know that they're coming through from different, like, dimensions?
Well, it's like different spaces. I guess you could, you might say dimensions. It could be, I, you know, I can feel different. Like, sometimes if someone comes through, like in this, you know, somebody's super just, it's, they're so wonderful. You almost, you feel their happiness. You feel that, you know, what they've experienced and it was so difficult, but they feel you have so much comfort. You just feel this lightness. Mm. And then there'll be other people that will come through and you're just kind of like, whoa, heavy. Like, you almost feel like you have weights on your shoulders and you're kind of like, okay, where are they coming from? What are they trying to show me or tell me? You know, I always say I'm from the show me state. So I'm like, what are they trying to show me that I can, you know, pass on to a loved one? And then sometimes you just have to say, you know, they weren't maybe the best person here, but they're really coming through. And if they're coming through, they're coming out of love. And you got to remember that part too. And then, you know, and then it's kind of like, oh yeah, you're right, that they weren't a really good person, or they, you know, they could have, you know, done something really horrible, but they're trying, and they're trying to move past that, and they're coming through to say something. And if they're giving me something that's, you know, positive, it kind of makes you feel like, all right, there's something going on the other side that's making them change on some level, but it still has a different balance than the other person. So you gotta kind of, you know, pay attention. Like I always say, pay attention. And that's what I do with, you know, the readings, is to make sure that whatever is coming through, I try to understand why I'm feeling like that. What are they showing me? What are they trying to make me experience? And, you know, it could be a, you know, a ton of different things. So I think it's important that it's not that, you know, one person is on a high level and one's on a low level. It's just they're in different spaces. And, you know, so this person that's super happy is in this space, and maybe there's other people helping the other people. You know, I mean, I've already seen that too, where I think one of you mentioned it, that where someone is helping someone else. And it's kind of like, yeah, I have seen that before. I've, you know, that's come across where, you know, you even get like a white coat, somebody in a white coat, like a doctor, or, you know, and that tells me they're coming through to help someone. And, you know, so maybe somebody experienced something really difficult before they passed, or maybe they needed assistance. And I think it's really interesting that there's a whole world over there too. You know, it's not just like, oh, you know, we go and then that's it. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yes. Well, that's good. And I think when you said the past and the present are not an issue, if they always tell us there's only now in the universe, only now. And right. Do you think it's someone? No. Is it time?
Now it's time for the prayer.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's time for the prayer. Okay. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Janet. Take care, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.